Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
WJLU, FM stereo. Whatever that meant. This is, that's what they used to say. This is Wretched Radio. FM stereo. Yeah. Were you even in radio?
No.
When that was a thing?
But the station I worked for didn't update very often, so we were still playing those when I started working there.
I remember AM radio when it was, it's like, okay, no, turn the radio, turn, no, lift up the radio. And so that it didn't just go, love will keep us together. Turn the radio. Think of me, babe. When, you're welcome. That was my impression of the captain and Tennille, who thought love would keep them together and they're now divorced. Love won't keep you together. You need more. And if you're anywhere near Daytona Beach, you need to consider joining me, Ken Ham, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, H.B. Charles. I think I might be missing somebody for the WJLU Cornerstone Conference. You can learn more at WJLU.com. Join us. We will have a gas, and I am having a flashback. It's in Daytona Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, when have I ever been to Daytona Beach? And the answer is once. I was in Daytona Beach to do a debate with an atheist. Not Dan Barker. That was up at the University of Minnesota. That, by the way, if you want to see that archive, and that's at fortisplus.org. It's free. You can watch that. But this was a debate with some other president of some atheist association. And there's something that I still kind of regret about what I didn't do. It was the auditorium, it had tons of atheists there. So I was trying, I wasn't there to debate the guy. I'm there to try to present the gospel and also to try to be as deconstruction-y toward their atheistic worldview. And so I'd asked the organizers to bring a game of Scrabble, an open game of Scrabble, because I wanted to use it as a visual. I was going to take it and just throw it. And then ask some questions. Now, do you think that you can find any sort of organized information that got assembled through that random throwing of the Scrabble? In other words, are there any words spelled out there? There aren't. Well, that's kooky, because that's what evolution teaches. Big Bang, unguided process, no intelligence, no order, and it just got organized all by itself. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? Now, what if I said to you, I'm going to throw the Scrabble game and it is just going to be one long run-on Pauline sentence? You'd go, you can't do that. That can't happen. You got to think. And then you've got to meticulously order things. And so not only does it need to communicate something, it needs to be ordered so it can communicate something that can actually be understood. And that doesn't happen through random chance and an unguided process. And I chickened out and I didn't throw the Scrabble game. And I still regret that to this day. But you
don't like messes.
Well, there's that. I did imagine, oh man, who's going to pick this up? Because there's a lot of Scrabble pieces. 877-282-WJLU.com if you'd like to join us this weekend. What?
.org.
What did I say?
.com. It's .org.
WJLU.org. That would not have been understood in the 60s and 70s. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Cody. Todd, my wife and I have three beautiful daughters, 6, 4, and 2 years old, with another daughter arriving any day now.
Wow.
My wife says she is done having children, mainly because of the strain it puts on her body and the desire to give full attention to the four that we have. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that the Lord is in control of all things, but I wonder what a biblical way is to navigate family size and how to approach the decision as being ours regarding how many kids we should have.
It's heart. It's heart. Now, most likely you will have to make a decision about your theology of procreation. Can a couple make a decision to stop having children by using a non-abortifacient birth control mechanism? You need to decide that, because if you don't, then I'm going to be pushing against your conscience, and I don't want to do that. I would say that God does allow us to make those types of decisions. Can it be a sin? Absolutely. Because you know what? God's just not going to provide. There's no way we can't have another kid because I'm not trusting God. Well, then of course it would be a sin. But if you're doing it trusting God, but you're making some practical decisions, the health of your wife ain't a small consideration. Not only that, it's okay to consider finances as long as you're not doubting God in the process. I just don't think that every family needs to be the Duggars. I think that God does allow us to make those decisions with wisdom, and every couple needs to make those decisions. That's where I stand on this subject. Having said that, if you affirm that, then how do you go about making that decision when that's enough? And the answer is when you both agree, when you come to the consensus that we can have more children, then have more children. But unless you have a full majority vote, meaning both of you say, we want to have more kids, I don't think you should. I don't think you should. First of all, it's too big of a decision to push that on somebody. So I'm probably looking at you, Dad, because you might be inclined to say, well, I've got the leadership role. So if I decide we're having more kids, then we're having more kids. Well, I guess we could have that conversation and determine how biblically stout that is. But I would say that it ain't going to play well if a woman, because she's concerned about her body, she's feeling like I want to be able to give more to each child than what I'm able to give. And if we have more and more, I just feel like I'm not going to be doing my maternal duty to the degree that I desire to. To impose that, to counter that, I think you're just looking for mega problems. I think those big decisions, they need to be joint. I think you can create a list of those. Having babies is one of them. The house that you buy, that's another, whether you move or not. How you invest money, those are big things. And they should, I think those decisions should be made jointly, because if you don't, okay. So dude, you want to have more kids and she doesn't. All right, your desire is good, but I can almost forecast what a lot of evenings are going to look like in your home. Here's what they're going to look like. It's 2 a.m. and off in the distance, the newborn child is heard screaming, and it would not be necessarily a sin for your wife to elbow you and say, get up. You wanted more kids. So if you don't want that scene, do it jointly. And remember this too, if you happen to be one of those fellows, and there's a movement afoot right now of this patriarchal attitude that I think crosses a biblical line. You just render the verdict. That's it. She submits. No engagement. Not only do I not think that's biblical, I don't think that's wise. Women are not dodo birds. Your wife is your best counselor. Sure, some of her thinking can be tainted with sin. Aren't all of our thoughts tainted with selfishness and sin? But that is not to disqualify her from being your best counselor. So make those decisions together. And this is how we both grow. Doesn't mean you can necessarily give up on your desire to have more kids. You can keep bringing it up as long as it's loving with the honoring of her desires in view. Those conversations should be a lot sweeter rather than acrimonious. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
This isn't children, having more children, but I can tell you from experience, these types of decisions made without the both being in agreement don't end well.
Almost never.
I came home with a brand new truck without consulting my wife one time. Dude. And that did not go very well at all.
Oh. Okay. You got a flat tire once. You called up Mrs. Hicks and she said something like, Well, that was your decision, darling. Yeah.
I tell you what, and this is how delusional I was. The whole time I'm driving home with this truck, I'm excited to show her the truck, thinking she's going to love it. Yeah, no.
Be honest. You weren't exactly buying it for her.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Because you were going to be the main driver of that bad boy, weren't you?
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you just want to do those things together. And that's what makes life and marriage so sweet. And it'll grow you. It has to grow you. And it's just going to force you to become a better version of you. You just have to have more patience and love. And a willingness to give in, because it's just not that big of a deal. And as you do those things, your hearts get knit together. And best of all, in the middle of the night when the baby cries, you're not going to get an elbow to the ribs. We're just trying to help here. If you are thinking about getting married, your marriage trajectory should always be other, not me. My desires, my wants, my demands, always putting the other first. You know, I can think of a Bible verse in Philippians 2 that gives us a model for one who didn't come to be served, but to serve. Oh, yeah, our Savior. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day, and that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truth should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Krotz shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information, we need transformation.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for His glory and the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff here. This is Wretched Radio. Permit me to be announcer boy Todd. Fortis Plus, now available on the following platforms: Roku, Fire and Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. All Fortis content now free and downloadable on all of those aforementioned, whatever they are. What are they? Streaming apps?
Yeah.
So if you got any of those streaming apps, so much for being announcer boy, you can get all of our content, and there are hundreds of hours of content. Absolutely free, courtesy of our gospel partners. Don't forget, we just dropped another episode of Transform Season 4. Outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. You can watch that too. So you can download the app onto one of those platforms, and you can watch Transform Season 4. Don't forget, all of our study guides are also at fortisplus.org, which means you can use all of our stuff for free at Sunday school. Looking for something for Sunday school? Look to Fortis Plus. Go look around. You'll see, we've got, dozens of Bible studies on biblical counseling, theology, typology in the Old Testament, parenting. It's all there. It is all free because of our gospel partners. And finally, September 23rd and 24th, be listening for more details. Get to be at University of North Georgia, then Kennesaw State University here in Atlanta. In October, we'll be in Oklahoma at the Oklahoma University. It's OU, right?
They go with OU. The Sooners, yeah.
Yeah, but somebody sent me an email that said, but the official name is University of Oklahoma. Is that right? I don't want to offend everybody in Oklahoma, because I know that there's a little bit of a rivalry there. But is it University of Oklahoma or Oklahoma U? I know it's OU on the side of their helmets, so let's just go with that. That'll be in October. More details to come. And finally, would like to encourage you to go to the Wretched YouTube machine and look for Play the Man. We put this up a few weeks ago now. Maybe 20,000 guys have watched it. Well, we'd like it to be 200,000 guys, because there are at least that many that struggle with pornography. If that is your struggle, if that is your besetting sin, it's free too. We probably have it at Fortis Plus also, but you can find it at the YouTube machine. Watch the whole thing. And in fact, I think the first challenge that I give in that 3-hour presentation is commit to watching the whole thing. Because it's going to present your battle for sanctification, I think, in a different light than what you probably heard. It's going to call you up to play the man and to do things that are they're loftier, and they're better, and they're grander, and they're more impactful in a positive way toward the people who love you. So if you struggle with porn, visit the YouTube machine and look for a Wretched Play the Man and be set free. And something glorious is going to happen. You're going to change. Because if you're watching porn, especially on the regs, you don't know it, but you're becoming deformed. You say, well, I don't have a withered hand. I'm not talking about that deformity. I'm talking about being a man. You're becoming twisted and shriveled. That's what pornography does to you. And you don't even realize it, most likely. Oh, you feel little shame and guilt here and there, but you don't realize what porn is doing to you. And that means that if you, with the right motive, using the power of the Holy Spirit, become a victor in your battle of lust, you're going to stop being deformed. And you're going to be a man who walks upright and who enters a room not wondering, when's the shoe going to drop? And you're going to start to do things that are lasting and bigger. Like, you'll be cherishing your wife, and people are going to see your wife and go, wow, she's happy. Look at it. Huh. That must be a happy home right there. You can watch the entire presentation at the Wretched Machine YouTube. Play the Man. Was talking to Paul Washer at the MacArthur Memorial. And this wasn't an endorsement of psychology or sociology, but he mentioned that he has a friend who is in that realm. And he said the number one determiner of a home that stays together and where the kids grow up to be productive citizens. Do you know what the number one factor, at least, okay, this is secondhand now, but according to a friend of Paul Washer's, which pretty much makes it sacrosanct, what is the component inside of a home that produces the most human flourishing in that context? Jimmy, you want to guess?
The element in the home that produces the most human flourishing.
Yeah.
Marriage.
But okay, but more specific, please.
I don't know.
Did you just say a joyful dad? That's it.
That's
a joyful dad drives a home. It's the key component. Mom, believe me, you play a massive role. But as you play that role, if you've got a crabby dad, it's just undermining everything that you're doing. When a dad is joyful and excited and godly, everybody flourishes. Want to be that man? You got to be done with the pornography. You've got to be done with the pornography. Well, I had breakfast with a couple of friends, and this guy was so transparent. I was just so shocked at his transparency. He was talking about being a false convert, and that while he was married and looking at pornography. I was like, wow, okay, I didn't see that one coming, but okay. Well, one day he decided, Lord, I'm done with this. And the Lord convicted him and saved him. And so I asked the wife, I said, did you notice a change? And her response was fascinating. She said, yes. Because instead of just saying we should do this, he actually did things. Instead of saying, hey, we should go to that park and have a picnic, we actually went to that park and had a picnic. And instead of just saying, we should really get the house in shape so that we can sell it, we got the house in shape and we sold it. He became a doer. That's what you'll become as you overcome sin. Porn is deforming you. Play the man and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is from Anonymous Joe. Not sure how anonymous that makes him, but he says,
he's like a regular Joe. Uh-huh. Maybe a little play on words. He's an anonymous Joe.
Okay. All right. He wants
but
to.
But you can't be anonymous if you use a name, Joe.
He has a few questions about how Christians should respond to the lottery. I've heard it's a sin, but I'm not entirely sure why. I haven't heard much about the lottery. I haven't heard much about the lottery among fellow believers, but I'm wondering if you think God could use it as a blessing, providing someone with needed money, especially in this economy, or if, as Christians, we should have nothing to do with it at all.
Yeah, well, the former would be pragmatism, so that doesn't cut it, because we are not pragmatic people. Hey, we could win and it could benefit. Nope, we have to analyze the thing itself. Does God permit it? Does God forbid it? We always want to be careful. We don't make a law where there is no law. Having said that, I think we have enough implicit Bible verses to tell us, I think it's more than just dumb to give your money to the government via the lottery. I do go as far, and you could persuade me, I suppose, that I shouldn't say it's a sin, but I think it is, and here's why. Because number one, it's bad stewardship. If you entrusted me with some money, let's just say you gave me $1,000, and then you came back and you said, hey, what did you do with the money that I gave to you so that people could be blessed? And I said, well, I not even sure where it went, all of that stuff. Do you have anything to show for it? No, I don't. Did people benefit from it? Well, no. No, they didn't benefit from it at all. You'd go, I don't think you were a good steward, ditto with the lottery. God gives us money. It's His. He entrusts us with every single penny. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to consider every cent that gets spent in your life. But when you're talking about ordering your finances, yeah, you need to be looking at that bigger picture accounting. Am I being a good steward with this? Is the lottery good stewardship? Despite what they tell you that somebody's got to win, it ain't going to be you. The odds are too preposterous. They are not reasonable odds. That's what I think distinguishes this between wise investing and foolish use of money. The lottery's a foolish use. You ain't going to win. If it's an investment that is smart and sound and has a history, that's not a sin. Blowing money on the hopes that you're going to get rich, I think that the Bible would speak against that. Furthermore, the heart that goes behind that desire to get rich, furthermore, the lottery system, it doesn't empower people. It impoverishes them even further. So for all of those reasons, I would say, no, thumbs down on the lottery. Be a better steward. And something will happen too. As you become more open-handed with your money, as you become as generous as our God and Savior is, oh man. I think there's something in a book somewhere that talks about cheerful giving and the eternal rewards that come from it. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.